Hello and welcome to another podcast from whatis.com. This episode's topic is IT chargeback systems. This podcast is brought to you by whatis.com, the secret of those who always seem to know it all. We invite you to visit whatis.com and sign up for the Word of the Day newsletter. Learn one new thing every day. Our guest is Mark Den, Chief Architect at Intuit, with over 20 years of experience in the IT industry and author of Pricing for Utility Computing. Hi, Mark.
Hello there.
So, what can you tell me about IT chargeback systems? What is an IT chargeback system?
Well, the first thing to say is it's probably one of the most controversial changes that any IT organization can make. But on the other hand, it's probably one of the most beneficial changes in respect of changing its standing within the enterprise as a whole.
So it's controversial that the cost of the services, hardware, and software are applied specifically to the business unit in which they are used in proportion to that use. Is that about right?
Yes, that's right. In general, there are a lot of different kinds of chargeback systems that can be implemented. But essentially what this is about is changing the IT organization from being a cost center that consumes largely unspecified and unattributable costs into being an organization that provides some sort of suite of services for which the consumers of those services in the enterprise pay, and those payments are effectively chargebacks. Now, this doesn't necessarily imply, at least not initially, that it's usage-based chargeback, although usage-based chargeback has actually proven to be by far and away the most effective way to operate. But the chargebacks, as is often the case in many organizations today, can start off simply as some kind of flat charge or flat usage scheme for access to IT services. But the key thing is the way in which any chargeback scheme changes the stature and the positioning of the IT organization into now a provider of a service within the business with a notional price attached.
Do you have any idea who actually came up with the idea initially?
Well, IT chargeback has actually been around for a long time. I mean, there were chargeback schemes in place in the 50s when mainframes were being used. Chargeback became a little more complicated in the client-server era in the 80s and was largely discarded. But now as we move more towards utility and cloud computing, there are both technological reasons why it's now possible and business drivers within the space of IT transformation which in fact incent it to happen. And as a result, it's coming back into common parlance of discussion.
So as everyone shared capacity in mainframes a long time ago, that sort of metered usage made sense and then moved to the desktop computing model. And now we're back again with cloud computing or utility computing where you reach out for resources, applications, storage as you need it, and we've adopted it back again.
That's right. It was essentially the move towards utility computing right about 2000, 2001, 2002. Didn't make it into mainstream at that time, but it was largely in academia that resurrected this question of chargebacks. And then as the concept of IT transformation and the way in which IT organizations need to change within that picture began to emerge, that added a second driver to it.
You mentioned that there are several different kinds of chargeback. What are they and how does each one of them work?
Well, I can briefly outline five different types of chargeback off the top of my head, and we can drill into those if necessary. The first one that I mentioned was the mechanism which one can think of as really being just a taxation system. It's basically a flat rate that the consumers of the IT infrastructure pay in order to use it, probably not connected in any way at all with the extent to which they use that infrastructure. And so in many senses, one could think of it as being a communist model, if you like. All consumers pay the same rate regardless of the extent to which they consume the infrastructure. The second model, which is actually quite widely used now as an introduction to IT chargeback, but for which initially folks recoil when they first hear it, is called peak-level pricing. And in peak-level pricing, there's a degree of monitoring of the amount of the capacity, and the chargebacks occur based on the instantaneous peak that any organization hits in the consumption. This may be thought unfair, of course, for organizations that don't hit the peak very often, and of course most organizations don't hit the peak very often, but actually this scheme works because if you simply narrow down the interval in which the consumption is being measured, then eventually one reaches a scheme in which peak-level pricing, very simple to implement, very little data, is actually acceptable. Now, after that, we move into schemes which tend to be based around either users or tickets. User-based pricing, very useful for things like shared services to portals or front-end processing systems for which a user is generally the same from one organization to another. They don't hugely vary in their capacity. And then we can argue that the number of users becomes a metric around which charging can be based. That's a specialized situation, though. It doesn't work in all environments. There are some in which it works well. For those, though, where consumption is hugely variable from user to user, a fourth scheme that's widely used is called ticket-based pricing. And under those circumstances, effectively what's going on in the software is that applications buy a right to use for the infrastructure for a particular period of time. And that right to use is a little bit like an opera or a cinema ticket. It gives you access to the infrastructure for a period of time, and then it expires, and that you need to buy another one. The ticket-based schemes work really well with service-oriented architectures because it's very easy to negotiate and purchase a ticket through an SLA. The fifth one, generally perceived to be the fairest, but the most difficult to implement because of the amount of data, is generally called integral pricing, or sometimes called area under the curve pricing. In this mechanism, what's happening is that the actual amount of consumption is registered constantly and continuously across the consumption period and then reported back as some factor of the total number of units of consumption available, and chargeback is based on a per unit price. And it just simply becomes a mechanism very similar to an electricity bill, where you're effectively making an invoice around the number of units consumed at a particular price P. It's not necessarily a constant price P, because the beauty of IT chargeback systems is that we can have different prices for different classes of service. So there's five models to thinking about.
Immediately, there's some questions about who would use the different models and why, and what would be the challenges of implementation for the different systems. Two fairly large questions.
Yes, two very large questions. Well, let's start with just a couple of models. In general, organizations that have a vehicle in which the user base is relatively homogeneous, for example, an online banking infrastructure, or indeed some enterprise web portal function, maybe an HR web portal, which faces employees within an enterprise, would be quite comfortable with user-based pricing. It actually turns out that most users fall within a fairly broad range of usage category. The outliers are relatively small. They're at the 1.5 to 2 standard deviations away from the mean. And under those circumstances, pricing by user is a very easy and notionally very quick to understand and a very simple to implement scheme. I'm assuming here that this is an organization that has already committed to move away from a flat tax-based approach, which, of course, for many organizations is the very, very entry level. What is interesting, though, is that in the space of cloud computing or utility computing, the software infrastructure components exist today to enable us to do metered consumption. Because the fifth model that I was talking about, the integral pricing model, many of the early implementations of cloud, whether for storage or compute, are actually able to meter the real-time consumption of storage and compute. And so we're able to use the fifth of those models quite comfortably in a cloud environment. Not everyone is there, though, of course, and not everyone is in a cloud world today. And under those circumstances, I find that the ticket-based pricing system works very well indeed for organizations that have already established some kind of service-oriented architecture, simply because we can set up within the SOA a simple service by which the ticket is obtained, and the organization can determine different types of tickets for different classes of service. And it's a really neat one from the perspective of non-repudiation. That is, both sides see the ticket purchase. There's usually no arguing about how many tickets have been purchased, and there becomes no problem, therefore, with the actual implementation of the chargeback, since both the consumer and the supplier are independently able to count the units that have been purchased.
This actually goes directly to one of the questions I received online from Twitter when I asked people about IT chargeback systems and what their concerns, thoughts would be about them. And one of them is pretty specific. How do we quantify IT resources enough to be able to do chargeback without greatly increasing the IT overhead itself?
That's a wonderful question, because it actually goes very much to the core of the difference between successful and unsuccessful attempts at chargeback. My experience has been that organizations that have not been successful in chargeback have failed because they've made a very bad choice of unit. IT people tend to think of units in IT terms. Perhaps they might instinctively be thinking about charging for CPU consumption, or they may be thinking in terms of charging for IOPS of storage bandwidth, or they might perhaps be thinking in terms of charging for gigabytes a second of data transferred across a network and so on. These make sense in the world of IT, But the problem is they don't really make sense in the domain of the consumer in the enterprise. The application owner is actually not interested in those things and generally doesn't think in those terms. They may be operating a PeopleSoft system, and they might be looking to want to count inquiries or transactions. Oracle database operators might be wanting to count queries. And so the success of a chargeback system is very much dependent on wisely choosing a unit. And IT people need to be able to lift themselves up above the kind of infrastructure level metering that they might instinctively be attracted to and come up with a vehicle by which the units make sense. A really good example of this is the way that the cell phone companies have units today around cell phone minutes. Everyone understands what a cell phone minute is, and yet there's nothing fundamentally about the infrastructure at all which makes the cell phone minute evolve from a bottoms-up thinking around how to charge for the infrastructure. The fact is they chose a vehicle that was readily understood in the minds of the consumers, and it was therefore a successful vehicle from a chargeback perspective. We have to do the same thing in IT.
That actually leads directly to the next question then. What would the best practices be for one of those enterprise IT guys or even someone working in a small business starting out and thinking about adopting one of these systems?
Well, best practices are, first of all, you need to spend a lot of time working with all of the major stakeholders in the business. It's not generally a good idea to assert a chargeback system without ensuring that the CFO of the enterprise is on board. Lots of reasons why this is, but I would say that you know, number one on the best practices list is make sure that your transformation to IT chargeback is as strongly sponsored by the CFO as by the CIO. Now, a couple of important reasons for this. Firstly, C-level sponsorship is essential because otherwise one can get stuck into the silos of individual owners of individual systems within an enterprise who will see very little incentive and have very little desire to share their infrastructure or indeed to part with the notional ownership of that infrastructure so that it can be charged back to them. So it needs to be done from outside of the silos of operation of IT. But secondly, I mentioned earlier that this is not primarily an IT transformation. It's a business transformation. It's about moving the IT organization from a cost center view to a value center view. It's about positioning the consumption of IT costs in the context of IT being a business within a business that has, in effect, revenue flows through the chargeback that makes decisions about its own capital expenditure and its own expansion of its own facilities on the basis of what can be supported from those revenue flows. Now, that's a CFO-sponsored concept and a very important concept for the success of the IT organization. So that would be my very first point on best practices. Spend substantial time with the business ahead of time, getting both the CIO and the CFO bought in.
One of the other questions that came in was about the purpose of IT systems. In this case, it should be to save or make money, otherwise find other efficiencies. Why invest in systems? There's certainly evidence that a chargeback system could help you to save money. How fundamentally does it do that? Is it just a matter of shifting over IT to being a utility?
No, interesting, it's not, although that may be something which does in many enterprises introduce cost savings. No, the reason that it's generally one of the most powerful tools for an IT organization to be more competitive, in fact, relates to the use of units of chargeback themselves. The thing is that when an organization is transforming to being a service provider, it's effectively market testing itself. It's looking at what the costs are per consumed unit on the infrastructure that it operates, which, of course, opens the door to have those costs compared with the prices quoted to them by outsourcing organizations that might offer to do the same thing on their infrastructure. IT chargeback actually operates as a vehicle by which an organization can make intelligent, financially informed decisions about whether to outsource. In other respects, it actually motivates an IT organization to become more efficient in order to adequately and comprehensively defend itself against outsourcing.
So for someone who's, say, having to install another rack of servers to support a web application, they might then be able to measure what's actually being used in terms of the energy consumption. Say they chose bandwidth consumption, and then to balance that against choosing to host that application on, say, Amazon's cloud storage.
I like the illustration. I probably want to suggest a slight change to the illustration in order to make the point I'm about to make. Generally, those units should stay within the world of IT. And they should be used for IT's internal comparison points with an outsourcer, rather than become the basis of offering IT services on a unitized basis to the enterprise. Absolutely, the bottom-up model in the IT organization introduces very, very good discipline about understanding where costs are attributed and how they can be controlled. And so one could look at what is the cost per CPU minute, say, if we postulate such a term. What is the cost per CPU minute calculated bottom-up inside the enterprise's IT organization, taking into account the power, the cooling, the attributed costs of the headcount and appreciation of the hardware, the facilities costs that the equipment's located in, and so on, and then compare that to an executable cost per compute minute in Amazon as an interesting piece of market testing. Absolutely.
To your previous point regarding getting buy-in across the company, a lot of IT managers don't have control over one of the most significant costs any organization now, especially in enterprises, which is running the data center. That's often at or near the top of a budget due to the cost of energy. So given that lack of control, it makes sense to have buy-in. Is there a minimum size then, or the business or the infrastructure, where this stops making sense?
The making sense or not making sense comes out from the cost of the unit itself. If the delivered costs of the units of the infrastructure are simply too high, then it doesn't make sense. But obviously there are some one-time costs that are associated with the work necessary to create the models and to do the research to establish what the operating costs are of the IT organization. And I'd suggest that for a small organization, those one-time costs are probably not worth paying. But when we've got an organization with an operating budget measured north of seven figures, then I think that it starts to make sense to invest maybe $50,000 to $100,000 of costs in fully quantifying and modeling the operating environment with the intention of creating some kind of cost model for the IT organization, assuming it doesn't have it already, of course.
As you say, these systems have come back not only into vogue but into actual use now. In your experience, and this is extending beyond your own personal experience within your organization, but within the wider market, who's using them and what kind of return on investment are enterprises seeing in adoption and implementation of IT chargeback systems?
Let me address the second one first. Because this is an IT transformation project, return on investment is generally a bad metric to measure. Because return on investment is always measured over a specific period of time, in other words, you're looking at a return point maybe 18 months out, 2 years out, and asking, do the returns on this exceed the cost that we spent on it? We miss the opportunity to see that the real value of IT transformation is actually in the way that it improves the cash flow of the organization and allows it to monitor its operating income. And so I generally recommend approaches based around net present value for IT transformation. At very least, total cost of ownership. But I prefer to see IT transformation positioned as a cash flow play, and for which you will generally find the CFO will shake your head warmly and say, well done, because that's exactly the focus that a CFO is likely to have on the background to an IT transformation. That said, in my experience so far, measuring things from a cash flow perspective or a net present value perspective, I've seen at least a 40% improvement in any and every project that I've been involved in operating cash flows as a result of transformation. Transformation may take 18 months to reach that point, but I've never seen worse than a reduction in 40%. And my personal aim is for IT organizations to be able to demonstrate a 3 to 6% improvement on operational costs. So in effect, reducing operating costs by a factor of 50% over the lifespan of the project. Now, turning to who's doing it, I initially found that the majority of large organizations that were interested in chargeback were financial services organizations. And I thought this was quite interesting because they probably had the currency and the understanding quicker than others to position IT as being a provider of services with costs attributed to those services and to be able to model the benefits of those within an organization. In many respects, the skills that are involved in understanding at a financial level what IT transformation is like is very similar to determining if you want to acquire a company and you're looking at the net present value and the cash flows of that organization and trying to figure out the right price for that company. Quite similar in IT transformation space. But these days, I no longer find it constrained by the financial services industry. Although certainly my early work was in financial services, today I'm working with software companies transferring to software as a service model and to manufacturing companies looking to integrate the cost of the IT that supports manufacture with the fundamental cost of manufacture of the goods themselves so that the IT component of that is part of their cost modeling for both existing and new products.
That's certainly attention-getting, I would think, for any CIO of a large organization. Those are not small numbers. Is there anything that someone should consider with regards to disadvantages? And you've already mentioned making sure you get buy-in across the organization. What else should people be thinking about and being very careful of?
There are a couple of disadvantages that are relevant here. Number one, there are organizations for which chargeback is fundamentally not required. The model by which they operate the enterprise is one in which it is not meaningful, nor is it useful to represent the IT organization as a business within a business. They're quite comfortable operating within a model in which perhaps many parts of the, quote, supporting organization for the business can continue to operate as cost centers and can continue to operate within the cost center budgetary process, particularly non-profit organizations or indeed organizations with financial governance outside of a traditional CFO framework, perhaps a governing committee for budget. Under those circumstances, it may not be appropriate to push for a chargeback environment because there just isn't the desire or the will or indeed any quantifiable immediate benefit to the organization to do that. Now, the second area where chargeback would be unadvisable would be in a traditional IT organization that's facing the possibility of being outsourced. And it's important to make a decision early here. In most cases, outsourcing is going to be the right thing for an efficient organization. And the difficulty with moving to a chargeback environment is that unless that's going to be coupled with a strong commitment on the part of the CIO to optimize operating costs, chargeback may in fact grant the board of the company all of the ammunition that it needs to proceed with an outsource because it will reveal the very inefficiencies of the IT organization for what they are.
Mark, that's more than enough to get someone up to speed and certainly to answer the initial questions anyone would have. Are there any other resources online or offline that you'd suggest people visit beyond, of course, our definition on whatis.com to learn more?
I would recommend particularly looking at the recent articles in this space in CIO Magazine, which has begun to get its arms around this. In addition, there are a number of papers being published in the service-oriented architecture space now, which are carefully and accurately drawing a distinction between SOA, service-oriented architecture, and service-oriented infrastructure, and suggesting that the very rationale for SOI may well be chargeback. So looking at those would be great as well.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Mark.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And thanks to you, our listener, for joining us today. That concludes this podcast. If you have more questions about IT chargeback or comments, please let us know at editor@whatis.com. Please visit our definition for IT chargeback at whatis.com, and while you're there, sign up for the Word of the Day newsletter. Learn one new thing every day. Thank you for listening. I'm Alex Howard. We hope you found this podcast helpful. Be sure to visit our definition for IT chargeback systems on whatis.com. The definition contains links to useful articles on the topic, and look for more coverage from our sister sites at searchcao.com and searchdatacenter.com. In addition, you can send feedback, questions, or comments to editor@whatis.com. Thank you.